Hi, Jeanette. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
Well, I live in Stockholm since a long time now, but originally I come from further up north. It's a small village called Ås, A with a circle and S, in Jämtland, close to the mountains.
Do you come from a musical family?
Yeah, I guess I can say so because my father used to be a drummer. And he worked as a professional musician before I was born, and but he cut down a little bit when I was a kid, but he still played at that time, and music and a lot of jazz and soul and Brazilian music, and yeah, all sorts of music, but a lot of jazz was there. I had access to it.
Do you remember what your earliest musical memory was?
But for some reason I see before me this little toy drum. Well, I guess it's
That
that
drum, eh?
drum.
What was it that made you want to pursue a career as a vocalist, Jeanette?
I guess I sang to myself as a child, like most kids do. I didn't really think that, yes, I will be a singer or something. I don't know. Well, but I wanted to sing. I did, and sometimes I pretended I was a singer. But still, later on, I started to play the piano instead and took lessons, and I remember I accompanied other singers, and finally it felt like the piano somehow wasn't enough, and I just had this longing to sing, and but at first I didn't even dare to sing in
Wow.
public when I was in my teenagers, but then I dared, and then it was something that just
So
came from inside.
what did it feel like for you when you first started singing?
I guess I was a little bit nervous, but at the same time, it less nervous than playing the piano. I felt that I could reach out more or something.
What was the most inspirational concert that you ever saw?
Well, one concert that I really liked was at a few years ago at Skeppsholmen at the Stockholm Jazz Festival when I saw Wayne Shorter's quartet. It's a really good one.
Was there anything that you picked up from Wayne that night that you maybe incorporated into your own musical style?
I don't think I really think like that. It's more like an abstract, just inspiration, the
Yeah.
feeling I get. Yeah.
Do you recall the most memorable concert that you ever gave?
I can think both like bigger ones, like playing for thousands of people in at Jazz à la Villette in Paris, or I can think just, like a tiny little club somewhere where the atmosphere is really intimate and.
And it was a special moment for you as a vocalist?
Of course, concerts are very different, and they can be, you can feel more or less inspirated, I guess, but you always try to be present, and I think they're all in their ways
Yeah.
special moments, I think, unique.
Who are some people that influenced you?
Sarah Vaughan, Ella, Nat King Cole, and Betty Carter, and I don't know, there are many. I would like to mention Abby Lincoln because she has meant a lot to me. And but later on also, there are so many singers, like I could mention Norma Winston and Radka Tonef, Norwegian singer. She meant a lot to me in my teenages, and Brazilian singers. Yeah, I know there's
Yeah.
some.
Abby Lincoln is such a wonderful storyteller. She's
Yeah.
incredible.
Yes, she is.
I think what I like about her is the way that she puts a story across. It's very personal
Yes.
and really hits the listener.
Yeah, I feel I experience her as very sincere and honest.
Do you ever find time to practice?
Well, I do sometimes. Right now, I haven't taken any lessons in a long time, but I, of course, I do. I practice and try to keep my. I would like to be this disciplined person who got up every morning and da 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 like that,
Right.
but it doesn't really work because my life doesn't.
So it's
Well,
more of a spontaneous thing for you.
I try. It's a mix, I think. Sometimes I can't only be. I try. I guess I have to also decide to do it, But yes, I do exercises and I try to keep my instrument in shape.
Many years ago, Quincy Jones called you an old soul in a young singer. Now, ever since he made that statement, I guess they could say the rest is history.
Yeah, it's funny because it's still mentioned here and there, and it's quite a long time ago now, but yes, of course it meant a lot. Because of course that seemed to have an effect on people because they have a lot of respect for this man and his work, and I don't know, it was a strong, I admit it was a strong moment when he said what he said.
Yeah, because it sort of thrusted you right in the limelight and more aware from other people out there who you were.
I guess so, because I was just about to go further out there, and it was right before I made my first CD. And
When it comes to singing, what's the most valuable lesson that you learned?
to not try to do anything. I don't know if you understand what I mean. To try to just do what I can to be present and honest and be where I am right now. And that might, it's simple and the same time difficult, because I guess that's what I strive for, but it's hard to always be 100% present every second.
In other words, trying to be
But
true to yourself, right?
yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite jazz recordings, Jeanette?
The first record that I bought myself as a teenager was kind of Blue with
Oh,
Miles.
yes.
And of course, that's a classic. And what I liked and like still about it is the atmosphere and the, I don't know, their phrasing and
The whole
timing and
moment
just
is
the yeah,
absolutely,
it's a very, very special record, of course. And yeah, and then I again I have a hard time to picking out, and but then I another favorite that has been staying for long is New High with Kenny Wheeler. That's
Another
also the
Canadian.
yeah. And the feeling that I really admire Kenny Wheeler's composing, and I like his playing very much too, and all those, and also Personal Mountains, Keith Jarrett, has meant a lot to me. And yeah, I could go on, but
Would
those are
you like to
few.
sing with him sometime?
With who?
Keith Jarrett?
Well,
I mean, would that be one of your dreams to hook up with him and
of course I would like to do that, but I don't know. He doesn't seem to play a lot with singers. I don't know what, but of course I would say yes to that. Yeah.
What did it feel like stepping into the recording studio for the very first time, when you recorded your very first recording?
Happiness. I felt really. That was in Copenhagen, actually, the first CD, and it was a really joyful moment. I was there with my band. I love being out with them and making this music, and the studio was so nice and
So
light, and yeah, it was
it felt right for
really
you.
fun. Yeah, and I really like working in the studio too. I think it's exciting.
It's a place where you can really create and, do a bunch of things that appeal to you and to the rest of the band and hopefully make some magic along the way.
Yeah, that's a challenge, because of course it's different, you know, we all know that, to play in front of an audience or to try to get into that kind of mood in a studio, but there's a lot of things, ways of looking at working in a studio, like, because you can't try to make it be what it is not also, I mean, but you can also, and that's what I've been doing maybe on my latest albums even more, try to do studio recordings, what do things that you can do because you are in the studio, and play around with that also.
Now you recorded an album entitled Feathers. Let's talk about that for a while.
Yeah, right. You know, we Steve is a very, he's a wonderful piano player, but he's also, and maybe he spends even more time composing and writing lyrics. He had made a lot of beautiful songs, and I had been listening to him since I was a teenager. And I, before doing my making my first CD with my quintet at the time, I asked him. I made contact with him and asked him for lyrics. So that's how we started working together that I got lyrics from him and I made songs. And after a few years, we said, hey, maybe we should try to play together too. Yeah, that's a good idea. And then we did, and it worked well, and we felt that it would be nice to put it on, you know, to record what we had been doing too. So we made the CD. And
did it take you long to make the recording?
No, the actual recording was, I think, just 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 days. Yeah, something like that.
Walk has always been a favorite album of mine that you recorded a few years ago. I got the sense that this was a recording based on personal experience, more or less a concept album. What are your thoughts on this?
I think everything, since I try to be honest, and, you know, everything is in one way based on personal experience, but, you know, it's like a, well, writers usually often answer like that about novels that they make. Of course, they can, you take from your own life, but you, some things you experience yourself, some things that are things that you see some around you, as you watch people around you and other people's lives, and some things are invented from your imagination. And so it's a mix of all that that makes the final sculpture, so to say.
Yeah, like an artist.
Yeah, and so it's hard to say exactly what, you know, but of course it comes from me, it's filtered through me in any case, whatever it is. But Walk is, you said a concept, it is in a way, but what usually happens is I start doing something, and then often afterwards I can see a connection or a thread, or, you know. So with Walk, I just made the music and I worked, and then after a while I could see this when I gathered all the songs that would be on it. I saw this common thing that it seemed like most of the songs had something to do with movement, walking, running, or, you know, either literally or symbolically. But so it almost became like a suite, the whole CD.
I felt a really deep connection, not only with your voice, but what you were trying to put across as well. And I think that that's what made that particular recording so important to me. And I think it's a testament to your talent, for sure.
Well, thank you. that's what I like too, that I think those things that the songs are about, and I didn't write all the lyrics either, as you know. I got some help with that, but most things can be recognized by most people. But also what I like is I tell a story, and I might even know, it might be about like more abstract things or several things at the same time I put in there, or I know what it is about me, very exact. But I like to also give that out, and for the listener to put there, because we do that anyway, you know, as a listener, we put our own story into what we hear.
Yes.
We interpret, all of us, differently, referring to our own lives and experience and what we see, and that's what I like to. I think that's a beautiful thing, that you can, I give this to you and you can have that and make your own story of it.
That's a good way of putting it.
Make it mean what it means to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
What is it about Joni Mitchell's music that many musicians find inspiring and provocative, allowing them to cover most of her material?
She's just brilliant. Her lyrics, her ways of, like, her melodies just flows out naturally, and her advanced harmonies, sort of simple but advanced at the same time. I don't know. I don't know if I can describe it.
It just is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And sometimes that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Miles Davis's music. You can't really describe it. It just is, and it's a beautiful thing. It's like a flower that blooms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like discovering jazz at such an early age?
Well, in some ways, maybe like an outsider in that sense, but not so much, because I was listening to other kinds of music too, and some of my friends started listening to jazz too. So, but it wasn't, of course, it wasn't common. Like everybody weren't listening to jazz, but and it also was different in different ages. But me and my closest friends, we could listen to it, and I was caught by something, and I started to explore it more and more myself. And I had friends that listened to jazz too, but I also listened to other kinds of music.
It must have been a lot of fun for you discovering those recordings that your dad had in his in the house at the time.
Yeah, it was.
I know when I was around 2 years old, that was the first time I ever heard Doris Day, and to this day, it just sticks right there in my mind.
It's
incredible. What is government support like in Sweden when it comes to music education?
When I was a kid, that was fantastic, because we had some kind of, I'm not sure of these, how to translate these words to English, but like a, not stately, but like in the community.
Yes.
Okay. You could choose to play different instruments, and it was almost free, it was cheap, and it was important. Almost everyone chose one instrument to play, and I think that that was very, very, that was a really good thing. Like from when you were 7 or 8 years old, you could take lessons. But now I've heard that thing that they've been cutting down a little bit in it, but you still can. But also one thing, like if you go on to a higher level, what is a fantastic thing with Sweden, on the other hand, is that universities and colleges and other schools, like after you graduate senior high school, are free. You don't have to pay if you go to university or like a music college or.
Oh, is that covered by the government or?
Yeah, but on the other hand, it might be harder to get in. There are a lot of people applying and you know, but you don't have to pay, and that's something to think about. Yeah, because I think that's quite different from many other countries.
It certainly is an incentive for people. This year, one of the great vocalists in popular music, and in some cases jazz, is celebrating his 80th birthday. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on Tony Bennett.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind then is wow, to, you know, that you can continue. Well, I can't know if I will be able to, but I mean, there's a possibility to continue with this profession for so long, and to have fun, and he seems to have fun. But I must also say that I've heard of him since I was little, and I've heard him, but I haven't listened all that much to him, so I'm not a Tony Bennett expert.
But he's stayed around for so long, and he's still out there recording, which is so important, you know.
Yeah, and you know, he was also performing at the Vancouver Jazz Festival here, I couldn't go, unfortunately, but a friend of mine was there, and she said this thing that he really seemed to enjoy himself, and really, you know. And also Sheila Jordan was here, and she I can say this because she said it to everyone, she's turning 78 now. And she just came back from a tour in Siberia or something, you know. Excuse me. Wow. And she's so wonderful too, you know, she sings beautifully, and she really makes people feel happy.
She's a bird in flight, that one. She's an amazing musician. If you had a chance to perform with only one musician, who would that be?
Yeah. Sure, I would like to do something with Wayne Shorter, because he has meant a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be an interesting recording for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
Kenny Wheeler.
Sweden is such a small country, and I would imagine that the musical community is very close knit. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. It's a small country, and it's most musicians know each other, or at least know of each other. Yeah, small family of jazz.
How did your coming to Canada come about? Because I know you've been here a few times, mostly to the West Coast, to perform.
We were here, I guess you know, some colleagues and dear friends of mine, Lina Nyberg, maybe you say, and Rigmor Gustafsson.
Oh, yes.
They're two singers, beautiful singers, and we've known each other for a long time. And we decided a few years ago to do a project together. So we made a tour in Sweden, and then we all three of us also write music and lyrics. So we decided to sing together, find a way to sing together without it being a little choir, you know, more like individually but also together, like a balance between that. And that was really fun and a great challenge to find out how, and we decided to write music specifically for this. So it was us and a trio, piano, drums, and bass, and we went on we toured some of the Canadian festivals 3 years ago. And so that's how I got in contact with some people here, and then they wanted to bring me back here to Vancouver last year, and then now I toured here a few festivals with my own band this year. So far really been really, really nice. Most of the places, especially Vancouver and a few other places too, well organized, and the audiences have been really wonderful, I must say.
That's important. When you're composing music, does it take you a long time for your ideas to germinate or to come to fruition? Or does it take you a long time to conceptualize ideas?
It varies, actually, but ideas can come quickly. But then the actual, what I would call, handicraft in it, or if you know what I mean, like the work, you know, is to sit down and really do something with it. And often it takes a long time for me. But a few times it's been like, it's just, you know, come, like, bloop, and then there's a song. But often I work for a long time, yeah.
When it comes to writing music, who have been some of your influences?
I should mention Wayne Shorter and Kenny Wheeler again. And also, when I was a teenager, I listened a lot to Shostakovich.
Oh, yes.
And some other classical composers that I liked and that I played on the piano. And then all good music that I hear, like Brazilian music, Jobim and Milton Nascimento, and and some soul music too, I would say. It's a mix, and then it's also just, I try also to just make music that, you know, to not think that I'm going to write a jazz tune, if you know what I mean. Like more, I'm writing, this is what comes out of me now, and that's a mix of all that I hear and see around me, and not only music, you know, everything in life, nature especially, and, you know, all the inspiration that comes from all angles and what comes from deep inside of me. And then I try to take away the critic in me. of course I have, as most people, you know, like, oh, can I really do like this? Or somewhere there, but I try to take that away more and more.
Jeanette, I'm going to mention some names to you, and I'd like you to discuss your thoughts on each of them. Now, the first one is someone that you just mentioned a while back, Sheila Jordan.
That she is a wonderful musician. She spreads happiness, and she makes other... She seems to have an ability to make other people feeling good, and a cooperator. Like, she really cooperates with her fellow musicians, which I like, and she's... She also seems very sincere, and I took a few lessons from her when I was younger. Yeah, so she's sort of like the jazz grandma.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, she's meant a lot. Yeah, I like her very much.
Now, this next person, I think, is very special to you, and I think to a lot of people over in Sweden and around the world. Monica Zetterlund?
Yeah, you know, she's always been there, kind of, if you know what I mean, like, since I was a little child, and you heard her, she has a wonderful, or had, I must say, unfortunately, a wonderful voice. I love the sound of her voice, and her phrasing is
impeccable.
Really, really good. Yeah, it's amazing.
So, yeah.
And also, she seemed to be such a nice person, very, like, simple, in a good way, if I dare to say. I don't know if that's the right word in English, but simple. Like, not simple in a bad way, but in a good, like straight.
Right.
And honest. And I realized also, you know, that she passed away in a tragical... She died in a tragical way last year. And then, of course, me and some other jazz singers and musicians, they wanted to make interviews, and it felt strange at first to just comment this horrible, but I realized in this also how much she meant to me and to us as a role model. She was a Swedish woman and a jazz singer, and she was doing this.
And I think she was always willing to help up-and-coming stars, like really, you know, mentor them and, you know, just help them out in their career, which I think was really good, a good thing for her to do. Another person that, a real giant in jazz, Thelonious Monk.
Yeah, it's hard to, I don't know what to, well, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I like his composing, of course, and his, I mean, you can hear it's him, you know.
Yeah, very unique
his
sound.
Playing, and his, interesting.
What a
character.
Yeah. What about Kate Bush?
Ah.
struck a nerve.
she has meant a lot to me because, I've been listening to her since I was a teenager, and I really admire her work. She is a perfect example of somebody who is just like Joni Mitchell and many other, like, she's her. She's Kate Bush. You can't really say, this is the letter, put the label, you know.
Yeah.
She's very inspirational that way. She seems to do her music. This is what comes out of her now, and that's, you know.
She has such a unique voice.
Yeah.
Now, Milton Nascimento is another one that I think you're very fond of.
Yeah. Same thing there. I like his voice, and all these people also, they tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
They seem honest and sincere, and they want to say something. And and the music is beautiful, I think.
What is it about Brazilian music that is so appealing?
Well, it's, in one way, it feels strange to say Brazilian music, because Brazil is a very, very big country, and there's a lot of different kinds of music. But I guess, you know what I mean. But the music that I like, I think about the rhythms, of course, the samba and the bossa nova, and the rhythms and the harmonies too. It's
very rich.
Special kind of language in music, and I also do. I love Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese. I think it's such a beautiful language, and also the lyrics are often very strong in either old message or feelings.
Let's talk about your formal musical training.
Yeah, they did, for sure. And a lot, what they meant was to, like, centers for meeting other people to play with. You know, and especially, I would say this, school, it's like a jazz school, jazz program in the south of Sweden, Skurup, where we were like 35, 40 people in different ages staying at the school and just playing, you know, it was, and all the teachers were active musicians themselves, and Yeah, and so these schools, I had some really good teachers, and also to meet all these people. And of course, yes, I learned a lot. Some people say that, can you really learn, go to school and learn how to play jazz? But I think, you know, it's not that either. I mean, I grew up with jazz and I learned music by ear, but I also learned, you know, to write music, to you know, musical notation, and that's a handicraft. It's a language that is useful for me. It's just a matter of what you want to do yourself. Yeah.
When you're performing live, do you ever have these moments of surprise?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I experience that now and then. Yeah.
It's a beautiful moment though, eh? When you can experience something like that.
Yeah, it is.
Because yeah, I've spoken to a lot of musicians about that, and they say that that's what it's really all about. You know,
Yeah.
you're performing in the moment, and that particular moment when there's magic that happens, you just can't describe it.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also that you feel, especially when it happens really, you know, together in the band, you're doing this together. Yeah. And that's what I think I meant before with presence. To try to be really in the now, in
The
the
moment,
moment,
yeah.
and try to be more like a channel for the music than, you know.
What's left for you to do in 2006?
Well, I have just recorded a new album. Yeah, so I'm working on that now, like, you know, what do you call it? After work.
Oh
No, but
yeah,
like
the
more like,
post-production.
yeah. So I'm into that now, and it's not with my band. I mean, I go on with my Riddle band, you know, the band
Yes.
from the two latest albums, yeah,
Right.
as usual. But so this album is like more like a side project, and that comes out from both that I've been wanting for a long time to. I thought it would be nice and fun to record standards. Oh, I don't like that word anyway. Well, jazz classics. Some songs that I grew up with and that I've learned to know on the way and so far. And actually one Abbey Lincoln song too.
Oh, what song would that be?
When There Is Love.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful song. And me and, you know, Palle Danielsson,
Oh yes.
bass player, yeah.
Yes.
We've been playing some on duo.
Oh, he's a
And like,
beautiful musician.
yes, he's a living legend. No, he's
Oh,
a,
definitely.
you know, wonderful musician and person, and we've been playing, and we really liked that, so we wanted to do something more. And then I thought, this is a good idea, we can play some on duo. And then I wanted to have also piano and drums on some, so it's Bobo Stenson
Wow.
playing piano, and also on some songs a younger player from Sweden, Jonas Östholm, who plays really, really beautifully. And then the drummer, Magnus Öström, who plays in Esbjörn Svensson's trio. Yeah, so those are the great musicians on that album. And it's to be released in October in Sweden. Yeah,
That should be really good.
thanks.
Yeah, now,
It's fun.
have you ever performed in South America?
No, I haven't. I've been to Brazil, but that was not for performing. But otherwise, I haven't been there, no.
Do you have any plans to go down there? And
Not right now. I don't. But if somebody would ask me,
yeah.
I would go. You know, but I don't. No, but that would be nice.
Who are some of your favorite classical composers?
I feel a little like I've been. I mean, I listen still sometimes, but I've been getting sort of away from it a little in that sense that I'm not. Not getting away from, but I mean, like, I don't feel as I'm as initiated anymore, like names and exact pieces and, you know, I'm never really good at facts and names actually in any, but I did like Shostakovich a lot, and what I liked with him is that this mix of, he could be really having some beautiful romantic almost moments, and but chip, you know, then it always came in this kind of almost ironical, or like it never got cheesy. It's some kind of mix between also this beauty and the like grief or
Despair.
ironical and humoristic, but almost black humor sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it's a mix of, it's not just one thing, I guess. And
Yeah.
that's and I like Satie a lot.
Eric Satie.
Like that kind of, like that atmosphere well, I don't know. There are so many. There are those classics, but then there are also, you know, there's so much happening. It's also such a wide area.
Yeah.
That you know, that, and Bach, of course. Bach, you say.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, there are so many contemporary, very interesting composers. And also, you know, sometimes it almost meets the free improv scene, and then you get over to mixing with electronic music, or you know, what do you call it in English?
Yeah, I think I know
EAM.
Where you're going with this.
I've been very interested myself lately with working with sounds in the computer, and dealing with that, and that's an interesting area too, I think.
I think that now that the boundaries in music are, you know, coming down, and there's mixtures of all different forms and varieties, it's making it more enticing for musicians to really create and explore more avenues.
There's so much music around.
Yeah.
And they have different names and labels I don't even know anymore. Somebody asked me the other day, "Do you like trip hop?" And I was
What's
almost
that?
yeah that what well of course I've heard about trip hop and all this, but I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And finally I decide to, you know, I don't really care. I mean, what is what, you know, because
yeah,
sometimes you can also see the same kind of music being called different, and I've seen my own CDs under pop in some places and under at least walk.
Yeah.
and under soul. But
yeah.
Mostly under jazz, and some say new jazz, NU jazz, and I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So I just find myself. I listen to. I'm curious and interested in music, and I like to listen to good music, no matter what it's called. And I like this thing that we. Yeah, the limits are a little blurred.
Blurred,
blurry,
yes.
And you can be inspired and.
Now,
move on, and yeah.
Your album entitled In the Middle of This Riddle features some really tricky arrangements. And I was just wondering, did it take you a long time to put this recording together?
Yes, I think I could say so. I mean, Walk was also, in a way, it was a lot of work with it. But yes, this Riddle album, I started writing, well, soon after Walk was out. So I guess it took 2 years, about 2 years. And I did put a lot of work in it. And another thing that is different with it is that I wrote almost all the lyrics myself.
Wow, so it was
except
ambitious.
One. So, yeah, I put a lot of work in it, both lyrics and the composing and some arrangements and then the actual recording too.
How did you come up with the title In the Middle of This Riddle?
Well, that was actually Göran Pettersson, my co-producer, the man I work with at Amigo, the label, who sort of, he came up with that because it's the last phrase in the song called Going Up.
Oh, okay.
And he said, maybe that's what it's called. That kind of attitude, you know, and I felt, yeah, he found the title that it already had. That's what it felt like. Just, yeah, there it is. Because this album, I felt like this riddle could be the actual album even.
Yeah.
Because this, it really felt like it had a life of its own.
Yeah.
I'm not all that superstitious, but you know, it's like a lot of things happen around it that just, both in the process of making, of composing, and also in the planning of the recording, and that, like, everything was just like, we had, both me and Göran had the feeling that okay, this album is deciding over us.
How would you define jazz?
jazz is a wide expression. It's like, I mean, you could, but now we can start to go in, what is jazz?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, yeah, it's the name of this music, but as the limits, the border is so blurred, it means usually that there's a lot of improvisation in it, but I'm thinking more of an attitude. Because even if a song doesn't have a solo, you can have an improvisational attitude when you're playing or singing it.
Yeah.
So it's this kind of music, but it's also more. It's something, it's a lifestyle almost, or it's
a vocation?
I'm not sure what vocation is.
A vocation is sort of like, I could give an example as a priest.
Oh,
that's a vocation.
Okay, right. Now Yeah, for me it could, you could, maybe,
yeah.
Without being too pretentious, sounding too pretentious, but I think it's this striving to, it is hard for me to, I mean, this is not a job that you go to at 9 and go home at 5. It's not. I live it too. And of course I have to try to decide almost sometimes, like, okay, now I'm taking this day off. Because
yeah.
You could work from you, that you open your eyes till you close them in the night. You know, it's whether you get paid or not, you work. But even if I'm off, so to say, and do other things, it's living in me all the
yeah.
time, and I can think of ideas for composing, and I try to sing every day, and you know, so it's there, and I listen to music, and it's this striving maybe to, or attempt to try to be present, that philosophy
right, yeah.
goes through the whole, one's whole life, maybe. It's definitely not easy, but I think for me it's very difficult to just cut and make a different, like, this is the jazz, this is the music, this is my profession, and this is the rest of my life. It's,
right.
it's impossible
yeah.
to, it goes into each other, of
yeah.
course. Yeah.
What would be the most important advice you could give an up-and-coming vocalist?
To be true to your heart, and to not give up too easily, and to try to, and this might sound simple, but to try to have fun.
Very important, actually.
Yes, I do think so. There, I could think of all these things, you know, that, and I taught, you know, I teach sometimes too.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah, workshops and things like that, and sometimes I have individual students and either ensembles or just individual singers . There are a lot of things to talk about and that they want to talk about, all from the actual singing and technique and music and improvisation and all that, but also they often want to know, how is it to work and live as a musician, and all the practical things around it, and the performance anxiety, and the like, there's a lot of administrative office work and organization, and you know, sometimes you can think, Oh, that's right, I was going to sing, yeah, that's... you know,
do you enjoy teaching?
Yes, I do. No, I wouldn't do it too much, because that would take too much from what I'm... sort of my own thing, if you know what I mean. But I do like to do it to a certain extent.
I'd like to thank you for dropping by today. It's been a real pleasure. And
thank you.